This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, I like when my listeners hold me to stuff. Dixon, I'll do it right now. Dixon said, hey, you said you were giving away that Cables gift card at the end of the segment. I claim it now because I listen closely, unlike most hooligans that actually I actually pay attention to the nonsense that comes out of your mouth on a daily basis. Okay, let's give it a, I'm going to make you work. Caller 20. Caller 20 on the hotline. 970-353-1310. Stay on hold if you don't get through right away. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining me. Mark, I'll take you to Cables sometime, man. I'll hook you up with a Cables Pub and Grill gift card.
Well, I was listening to your spot there a moment ago, and I was thinking I'd like to go and eat at Cables. And by the way, I'm pretty sure in the International Code of Ethics for radio, if you don't give the gift card away in the previous segment, the guest in the following segment automatically gets it. I'm pretty sure that's the bylaw.
All right. Well, I have quite a few of them here because, believe it or not, I keep forgetting to give them away. So I'm going to hook you up. We're going to go do that at some point. Hey, I want to tell you, Mark, what you and I met and talked to like a year ago. We went to Bruce's Bar. And I just got to tell you about a fun event going on. Our boy Brian Gary, one of our morning show hosts, he is competing in the Rocky Mountain Oyster Eating Contest this Saturday. So I was going to tell you about that. What's that?
Where are they holding the Rocky Mountain Oyster Eating Contest?
Is it actually in Bruce's Bar, Angel, or is it like out on the outside and whatever?
I believe it's in a park in Severance.
Okay, so Bruce is providing the food and everything, but it's going to be in a park and
there
stuff.
You go.
So are you know what?
You know how much. Yeah, you know how much I like Bruce's, and
yes.
I love the oysters over there, so that sounds like I'm just a little disappointed I didn't get asked to come to be part of that,
How many do you think you could eat? I mean, I don't know there's a poundage amount. I'll have to ask Angel, but there is a certain amount that he's going to be asked to do, and it's always way more than you'd think. Anytime you see an eating contest, you look at the food, and it's like, wow, that's way more than I thought it was going to be.
You know, way back when I was in my 20s, with the voice of the Illinois State Redbirds back then, and a local bar had a rib eating contest. And because in Bloomington, Illinois, they have Illinois State, they've got Illinois Wesleyan, which is a wonderful Division II program. So it was an offensive lineman from Illinois State, an offensive lineman from Illinois Wesleyan, and then me. And the three of us did a rib eating contest one time. And I was probably, I'm trying to remember how old I would have been. Probably, 27 years old, something like that. Anyway, maybe 30 at the very oldest. But anyway, we eat the ribs, and about 3 days later, I run into one of the offensive linemen in the weight room, and I said, how'd you come out of that deal? He goes, oh, man, I was a mess for 2 days. I said, well, glad I thought maybe I was the only one. I mean, let's just put it this way. All three of us were in a small room by ourselves for the next 2 days.
Oh man, that's the thing. Like you're not just like a little tummy ache after an hour or something. You're like dead to the world. I've seen some of these guys days after this, and they do not look good.
Yeah, I do wonder. You know, you always have the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Yes.
So I wonder if those get the professionals. I wonder if they go and upchuck after the contest just to get rid of it.
Oh
you
my
know?
Goodness, I know. And it's like it's not good. Yeah. You're not like I love hot dogs, but I mean, you're not enjoying it at that point. So it's like, what's the dipping it in water? It's just the worst things you could be doing. So yes, Mark, I love the eating contest. I'm excited. We're gonna see Brian out there. But I was thinking of you about that because, of course, I know you're a Bruce's guy.
Well, something tells me if I was gonna do that, you know, having a normal. You know, even on the large side portion of oysters and Bruce's, I would be very happy. If I had to gorge myself, I probably wouldn't be happy.
And then you'd,
you know?
I'm curious to know, because they actually had the champ on this morning. Do you go back and eat them casually now? Like, does the hot dog eating champ, does he just eat hot dogs casually? Or can you not do it because it's disgusting to you?
Well, and that rib eating contest I told you, that was 20-some years ago. I still don't eat ribs to this day, so I think that would be the answer for me. Yeah.
Wow. That's okay. Remind me not to enter in a food eating contest with any of my favorite foods. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffs. All right, Mark, give me some reasons, and we're looking at this today because we want to build the hype. We're getting excited for football season, looking forward to this, and I'm certainly paying attention to that quarterback battle going on in CU. But give our listeners reasons, you know, for hope for this Colorado team to turn things around this coming season.
Well, I'll tell you this. On Saturday, they had a scrimmage. And although I was out of town, I had a chance to go back and watch the video and then compare notes with Coach Gary Barnett afterward. And both of us came to the same conclusion, and Gary's opinion when it comes to football is much more valuable than mine. I'm honestly going to tell you that. But both of us kind of thought the same thing. This is a much better offensive football team than it was a year ago. Now, that shouldn't shock anybody, considering they were one of the worst, statistically, one of the worst offensive teams in America last year. But the offensive line gave all the quarterbacks, I think, decent protection in that ball game. I think you saw the top three guys, and I think between J.T. Shrout, Brendan Lewis, and then Owen McCowan, Josh McCowan's kid, who we've talked about a little bit, the freshman that's in there, I thought really showed some stuff. In fact, Shrout had a great, about 30-some-yard pass to tight end Brady Russell, who's the Northern Colorado kid, of course. And so I think despite the fact they lost some names to the transfer portal, there are some young wide receivers. They could have Jordan Tyson, number 16, and then Chase Sowell, who's number 15, who really are flashing out there. And so you feel good about that. I think the tight end room is pretty deep, led by Brady Russell. So I think there are some reasons. I think that defense was solid a year ago. They're certainly not going to take a step back. You hope to see improvement there. They got to grow up a little bit on the back end, I think. But that offense is, I think, going to be significantly better this year. And so there is a reason to be optimistic right there.
How critical, you talk about Brady Russell, other than the great first name, how critical is he going to really be to this offense? And whoever that quarterback is, we always say, you know, a tight end or sometimes a running back, it depends, can be a quarterback's best friend. How critical is his role this year for the Buffs offense?
Well, I think, you know, and I just did an interview the other day with Clay Patterson, the first-year tight end coach now for the Buffs, and I asked him kind of about the overall room, and he said, well, here's the deal. I've got Brady Russell, and he said he conducts himself like a professional. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He's done it all, seen it all, been there, knows the offense inside and out, all those kind of things. He's tough. He's got good hands. He's already made big catches in his career. He can get in there and block, and so he's just going to be a cornerstone guy. And I think Eric Olson, I think Austin Smith, some of the younger tight ends, you're going to see those guys quite a bit. I'm hoping to see, I'm thinking of a spotter, Christian Fourier. The younger Fourier is number 18, is on this team, and is coming off of injury, and I think they're hoping for him to do some things. And so there are some guys in there I think are going to be a big part of this offense. And I think under Mike Sanford, if you look what he's done, the tight end position has always been extremely important in his offensive systems at his previous stops. So I think there's reason to believe that Brady Russell could have a real nice year for the Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. As you said, a Northern Colorado guy, just a great dude. We got to try to get him on the show. I'm actually going to be down not really your neck of the woods, Mark, but I am going to stop by that Front Range huddle next week. Are you planning to be there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got to do my annual in-person shot with Brady Hall. You know?
Well, I was going to say we're 3 hours now, so I need some help, man. I need somebody to carry that thing for a while. But I'm guessing you read your friends up north are not attending. Colorado State's not going to be making the trip down.
I did see that. They, from what I understood, they already had some appointments planned in the metro area, I guess. Yeah. So they're not going to be there. That's disappointing because it's the one opportunity we always get to get everybody together and, you know, get a chance to, you know, have some quick conversations with, you know, some of the other schools from my standpoint. So that's disappointing you're not going to be there, but, you know, hey, we understand.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. I absolutely love getting, I mean, it's just a central spot to just get all these coaches in, build some excitement around everybody, and yep. It should be a lot. And, maybe some tension this time because in a few weeks, CU's going to play Air Force. We should be seeing Troy Calhoun and company down there as well. So
yep.
Maybe we get some trash talk. I doubt that happens, but I would love to see it.
Well, I was going to say, considering Carl Durrell and Coach Calhoun, I don't think either of them are the trash-talking type. Both of them are about as reserved and gentlemanly as you could possibly get, so I don't think it's going to happen, but hey, we can hope, right?
I don't even think, I'm trying to think of all the coaches we cover and talk to now. I'm like, are there any trash talkers anymore? I mean, I don't think they're all just good dudes, Mark. That's boring, man.
I know. So, you know, at least when Adazi was up there in Fort Collins every once in a while, he'd say something silly, you know? But
I got to tell you, Adazi was always pretty, you know, he was pretty defensive when it came to any media member, and I'd interviewed him a few times before. We were friendly on the air. So I'm interviewing him there. That was the first time I'd interviewed him in person, and I had my whole show shirt on. He stood across from me. I mean, he's like chewing his bottom lip, and I'm like, he looks like he's really upset. What's going on? The whole interview, he just keeps staring down at my logo on my shirt, back up at me. I seriously thought he might just lunge across the table and try to get me. I was like, I didn't do anything, man. I'm not the Coloradoan.
You know, I think everybody in Greeley would agree with me on this. You're a highly controversial and acerbic human being.
That's true.
You're nasty. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, you're downright nasty, and I think that was the issue.
I think it was. I think he sensed it. He thought I was bucking up to him and all of that, man. It was crazy. I have so much fun with that event, though. And Tad Boyle usually joins in, too. I mean, I know it's a football deal, but Tad's always there, so we'll try to catch up with him, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is about football coaches in general, I've always thought this, that they're very different than basketball coaches. Football coaches are very cautious, let's put it that way. They're always that way. Basketball coaches in general are not nearly as cautious as football coaches are. I mean, you know, frequently football coaches, they act like they're guarding the nuclear codes. I mean, it really is interesting. And I just want to say, listen, everybody's got tape. Everybody knows what you're doing. It's not like you're not splitting the atom here. You're running similar offensive concepts and defensive concepts to everybody else. And so let's just relax. But, you know, they get very, very cautious and very protective of things. So that might have been part of the issue with Coach Adagio back in the day.
Well, and there's so many times I've gone to a practice, and it's like you pull up the phone to take a picture or something, and then they're not in formation at all. You have a quarterback in short pitching the ball to a running back. There's no defense in front of him. He's just running, and you snap a picture. It's like, hey, no pictures in this period. I'm like, you don't want him to see the pitch, man? I mean, we know it could happen. It could happen to any team.
Not allowed. We're going to keep it. It's all nuclear code secrets. It's national security's on the line. If we let you know that our quarterback is not 6'4", he's 6'3½", or whatever. I mean, I just chuckle at it all the time. You know, I said years ago, and I won't name the coach. Years ago, I was doing a show with a coach, and it was one of those like all programs do, where you're out at a restaurant someplace, and there's, you know, a few hundred people in there. And I looked at him, and he was getting kind of serious. I kind of chuckled. I said, well, here's the good news. We're not curing cancer here, all right? We're just talking about a game. And so, you know, there's no life and death. And, boy, did he get mad at me. Oh, my goodness. I go to a commercial break, and he takes his headphones off. And it was kind of a scene in the restaurant. He leans across the table and starts barking at me like crazy.
About
how I'm dissing his business. And I'm like, hey, I need to relax here, okay? Right?
Wow.
We're playing a game. But – there are some of those coaches that take this stuff very, which they should. You should be competitive. But guess what? I'll bring up a prime example, and everyone out there loves him. Tad Boyle is as competitive as anybody I've ever been around. But Tad's got at least a common sense, shall we say, perspective on things and understanding that, you know, not everything's life and death, and there are things more serious than the game. But yet, when he gets into court, I mean, he's one of those guys that'll cut your heart out because he's so darn competitive. So that's kind of a refreshing on occasion, but not all of them have that same perspective, if you will.
Or you could be like a former Rockies general manager and compare your job to being a brain surgeon or something.
I love it. When we hear sports figures, and you probably saw what help me out, AB, number 84 in the NFL.
Antonio Brown?
Brown.
Yes.
Antonio
Brown. Yes.
What he just said last week about, you know, more impressive watching him play than Jesus performing at Red Rock.
At Red Rock.
And here's the whole thing about it. That's what I'm talking about. People in sports sometimes get so insulated, they lose track of reality. And they really believe that every move they make, that the world is just sitting and waiting to hear their thoughts and see what their actions are. And so that frequently happens in sports, and it's a little disappointing, a little disheartening that you know, we can't have people that have a little better perspective than that.
It's insane to me, no question. And Brown certainly takes the cake, but it's you know what? It gives us stuff to talk about. I will miss, since we brought him up anyway, I will miss Steve Adazio, because there was always something fun to talk about with that guy.
Sure.
So I will miss it for sure. Jay Norvell's great, but it's all positive stuff. Carl Durrell, I mean, that's all well and good, but once in a while, Mark, we need sound bites, man. We need something that's going to get us going.
Okay. Yeah, CSU had Steve Adazio. The Buffaloes had Dan Hawkins for a few years, right? You know,
yeah.
They named Intermurals, brother. Remember that whole deal? And so, all right. I got to be honest with you. Coaches like that make it more interesting because they will say things. You know, you should always have a number of unspoken thoughts, right? If you're a normal human being and you're able to do any form of editing at all, you should have unspoken thoughts on occasion. There are some coaches, though, that can't do that. They don't have unspoken thoughts because everything just rolls right out of their brain, right out of their mouth. And it makes it kind of fun for those of us in the business.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it entertaining for the fans that love to, you know, listen and read and watch that stuff. But it is a little destructive internally.
Yeah. No, you're right. And there's good and bad. There's positives, negatives you can take with all sides of it. Mark, my man, always love our conversation. You never know where they're going to go, but I absolutely love them, and I appreciate you so much. And we're getting closer to September 2nd when the Buffs take on TCU, so I'll be excited to start breaking into some game talk with you.
I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing you next week down at the huddle, and also I'm going to hold you to that that lunch or something at Cable.
Let's make it happen, my friend. Anytime. You just let me know. All right, man.
All right, see you, brother.
There he is, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Okay, we once had, Angel, we once had a high school football coach, speaking of unfiltered and saying what's on your mind. Clark, what were we doing? Clark and I were together. Clark, I think, was in my show for a moment, was on my show. And we interviewed a high school football coach, and we talked about, you know, what kind of steps are you taking to make sure kids don't get hurt and all the change. It was right when all the big concussion stuff was just really exploding, and we were talking at it at every level and what coaches are doing. And this coach kind of chuckled and said on the air, seriously, said, I think a lot of stuff's overblown. Bottom line, you can't get hurt playing this game. It's just a fun – it's fun. And you just, like, don't tell that to Buck Coors up north, man. I mean, these guys can get hurt. Oh, but Buck's a great guy. I mean, it does happen, though. Injuries happen. Buck is a great dude. I actually was messaging with him back and forth last night. And he's saying everything, you know, that you'd want somebody to say in his position. But, it's just, he's crazy. We don't want the Steve Adazios, but we do, right? Like radio guys.
You want the quotes.
Yes.
You want the funny moments.
But you don't want the actual coaching.
And success.
He had some of the best ones, though, didn't he? Like, we're this close. It's like
brick by brick.
Brick by brick. I love that he just – Kevin Lytle's coming on. He's one of my good friends, man. We've become great friends. He's a great guy. I just love that he hated Kevin so much. It was so fun.
Coach, are you worried about losing the locker room?
You worried about guys hanging? He didn't even ask that. He said, are you worried about guys hanging their head after losing whatever? I don't even remember what they started. And Adazio just lost his crap, and he's like, we're not going to, nobody's quitting. Ah. I was like, whoa, doth protest too much. 12:51, the time. We're going to take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Having some fun on a Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Take it from a guy that played the game. Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard, weekdays after the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.